Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. And we're going to pick up here in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1. And we're continuing here looking at verse number 5, which says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." And as we've been going through this verse, we've been looking at some of the things related to this pattern that the Apostle Paul has laid out, the gospel that had come unto them, how the gospel had an impact on them. And now he's been dealing with this whole issue of that they've been able to witness how Paul and those who had been ministering with them, how they've been functioning. And he closes this verse out by saying that all of this was done for their sake. So he was doing this in order to give an example for these saints in Thessalonica, giving them, you know, this doctrine and also that physical example that they could see, so that way they could say, this is how the doctrine should actually be working out in them. And the whole issue that comes up when we look at what happens in the body of Christ today is that, unfortunately, that pattern is not always there for individuals. What happens is, you know, the doctrine is taught. Sometimes the doctrine is just taught to where, you know, the same, you know, few things are gone over and over and over and over again with no actual growth for the individual, no example to say this is how the life should be lived, this is how the doctrine is going to work out of you. And the end result of that is that the person's life is not going to be changed. And the Apostle Paul actually gives a warning to the members of the body of Christ about what's going to happen to the body of Christ, especially as we get close to the end of this dispensation. And I want to go over to 2 Timothy. We're going to go to chapter number 3. And we're going to read here a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that a lot of people are going to say that this is just a description of the world in general. And as we read this, you know, kind of keep that in mind. And we're going to see if this is really what the Apostle Paul is actually trying to describe here. And so in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, let's start at verse number 1. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Now we know when we look at the book of 2 Timothy, we know that this is the Apostle Paul's last epistle, the message that he's, you know, going to conclude all of his writings, and because he's concluding the writings, this is going to be the last book that would actually finish the Word of God. So once he finishes this epistle, we have a completed Word of God. And he's giving Timothy this information that he needs to make sure that he doesn't, you know, wander away from the truth of God's word rightly divided. Wander away from the gospel message, which is for today. The gospel message of the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that and that alone to give someone their salvation today. You know, in the Apostle Paul, he's witnessed a number of individuals who have walked away from this message. In fact, he brings up several examples in this epistle where he starts talking about how all that are in Asia have turned away from him. He talks about how he even starts naming names of individuals in the last chapter of this epistle. One of those names being Titus, a person who had ministered with him and was such an important part of his ministry that when you just turn, you know, a page over from where you are in 2 Timothy, you see that there's an epistle written unto Titus giving him doctrinal information. So the Apostle Paul, as he's giving this information to Timothy, is telling him, you know, in verse 1 it says that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he's going to describe exactly what those perilous times are. Now, as I said, a lot of people take this passage and say that this is just a general description of how the world looks today. Well, if that's true, then we've been living for the last 2,000 years in the last days of the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's really a problem to be saying that the entire period of this dispensation is the last days, because that's what the world system is going to look like. Without the Word of God having an influence on an individual, this is the only way that you could describe what mankind is like right now. So this cannot be a description of the world today. It has to be a description of something else. And what the Apostle Paul is giving a warning to Timothy about is that the church, the body of Christ, is going to start looking this way as a result of walking away from the truth of the information that's written in Romans through Philemon, not allowing it to have an impact on their life, not being that example to others, that way they can see how the doctrine is working out. And the end result is that the body of Christ looks exactly like the world system today. That's the warning about what's going to happen. That's why it's a perilous time for the body of Christ. Because, you know, if individuals are seeing this going on in the body of Christ, it's going to start causing them to waver in the faith that they have, because they're seeing individuals that they thought had a grasp of the truth and not functioning the way that God truly intends for them to function. Now, that example has been given to us. We see the Apostle Paul always giving that information about how the doctrine is supposed to be worked out. But he also gives us this information about how to prevent what he just described here in chapter number 3. He tells the body of Christ, specifically telling Timothy, exactly what he needs to do to prevent these things from happening. And that's why if we go over here, we just turn one chapter over in the book from chapter number 3 is the description of the problem. Chapter number 4 is going to describe what needs to be done in order to prevent this from happening. So 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and again, we'll start here at verse number 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so here we have the charge that the Apostle Paul is giving to Timothy, and by extension of giving it to Timothy, it goes to us. And I say by extension because you see the Apostle Paul give all sorts of instructions about things. And I'm going to just read one here, and then we're going to go back to our text here in chapter 4. But when you look back at chapter number 2, you see the first two verses of the chapter show what the relationship between Timothy and other individuals was supposed to be, when it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So the responsibility that Timothy had was to take the information, give it to these other individuals, so that way they could go out and be functioning exactly the way that Timothy was given to, for him to function. And then as those individuals are going out, they're teaching the exact same thing, and the message of this dispensation continues to go out to this world. That's why when you see the charge that's given to Timothy in chapter number 4, it starts with one very important aspect of things when it says, preach the word. The word is where the focus is always supposed to be. You know, that's why when we're studying the word of God, we look at a lot of verses to really explain exactly what the word says, so that way we have a good understanding, can apply the word to our lives and allow it to work in us. And you see, as he's laying these things out, you know, be instant, in season, out of season, you know, it's easy to be doing the right things in season when things are going well. It's not easy to do it when it's out of season, when things are going bad. And then you see how, as he continues on, he's saying, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Again, taking it back to the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to reprove. So, you know, giving the, you know, soft answer on correcting the error. Rebuke is where, you know, it's a little bit of a stronger correction when somebody's getting themselves into error. Exhort is an encouragement for the individual, and it's happening with long suffering and doctrine, and then trying to encourage them that there's going to come a time when people are not going to endure the sound doctrine. And, you know, that is something we see today, even in, you know, what are called the churches in, you know, America or even around the world today, because, you know, the doctrine is not the focus. The Word of God is not the focus. You have things of, you know, music being the focus. You know, music does have a role, but music is not supposed to be the primary focus of things. The sign gifts being the focus. The sign gifts aren't even supposed to be there at all, but it becomes that being the focus. Storytelling being the focus. Everything taking the focus away from the Word of God, which is the only thing that's going to work in the individual, the only thing which is going to allow people to be that example, the only thing that allowed Timothy to do all those things for their sake, so that way they could have the understanding of what was supposed to be going on. And that's why, you know, we stress the doctrine that's found in Romans through Philemon as being the information to apply to us. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't, you ever look at anything that's not found in those books. You know, we're told that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, that's a responsibility we have, is to look at all of the Word of God. But when we look at the Word of God, we have to have the understanding of the fact that there's only certain parts of the Word of God, which is Romans through Philemon, that directly has an impact on my life today, that's directly going to be that doctrine that I need to take in to actually have the impact that's supposed to occur. Now, when we look at that example of, you know, Paul, he's saying that he was doing these things for their sake, you know, we understand, you know, that idea of those works. You know, we see things, for example, in Ephesians chapter number 2, where it talks about how we're, you know, saved by grace through faith and not of works. You know, we understand that piece, but then the very next verse talks about how we're created unto good works, that there's a responsibility that we have to do those things. You know, and it's always in that idea of should, and that responsibility of should, and what comes about from those things. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul actually give some information about, you know, these works and what's going to come from these things. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I want to start here, verse number 10. It says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, I want to stop there for a second before we go on, because I want to focus on a piece of this, of the fact that the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, but that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ being preached according to the revelation of the mystery. You know, and I'm stressing that fact because there are two different ways that the Lord Jesus Christ can be seen in Scripture. You can see him being preached according to the revelation of the mystery from the doctrine that's been given to the Apostle Paul. You can also see the Lord Jesus Christ being preached according to the prophetic program, the information, for example, that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, both of those things would be a foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. One would be the proper foundation that I'm supposed to be building on, and that's Jesus Christ being preached according to the revelation of the mystery. The foundation I'm not supposed to be building on, the foundation I'm not supposed to have anything to do with, is him being preached according to the prophetic program, because there is no way I can even build on that, because that's not me. I can only build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached according to the revelation of the mystery. And when I'm building upon that, that's what we're going to see here as we pick up in verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, which says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So the Apostle Paul, he lays out these six different things of what can be built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at those six things, you're going to see that they can really be broken down into two different categories of things. That there's the things that we should be building, which is the gold, silver, and precious stones. And then there's things of, you know, wood, hay, and stubble that an individual can build upon this foundation. Now, A person builds upon this foundation as they apply the doctrine in their life, as they live the life that they're living. And, you know, we see in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, when it talks about whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the only source that we have of faith is what the word of God says. So we understand the word of God, rightly divided, provides our faith. So Romans through Philemon gives us the information that we're supposed to be applying to our lives. So when we're applying it properly to our life, we're allowing the doctrine to live through us. We're experiencing what Galatians 2:20 actually talks about, where it's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. When all of those things occur, the gold, silver, and precious stones are actually built upon this foundation. Now, there's times, and you know, everyone can probably think of times in their life when, you know, those things aren't occurring. And when those things don't occur, what's built there is wood, hay, and stubble. And there's going to come a time when each individual is going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, which is going to occur when the day of Christ happens and we all appear before him. And a fire is going to come down and is going to try all of those things that are built upon that foundation. Now, when you look at those two groupings of things, you know, wood, hay, and stubble, all the bad things that are built, if fire comes in contact with those things, they burn away and there's nothing remaining. Now, when fire comes in contact with gold, silver, and precious stones, they don't burn away. There's a refining that happens. The impurities come away, and those things become more pure. And when those things are remaining, as the passage just laid out, there is going to be a reward that's going to happen. And if an individual standing there and, you know, unfortunately for them, nothing remains and everything has been burned away because it was all wood, hay, and stubble, the glorious thing that's true is that the person still has their salvation because they're saved yet so as by fire. We still have that guarantee of our salvation because it's the Spirit that keeps us in the body of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about what these rewards actually mean. I want to go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, because we're going to see here in this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 where the Apostle Paul's actually going to define exactly what's going to occur for individuals. Here we're going to read verses 11 through 13 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and it says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." So that's talking about our identification. We identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. So because we identify with his death, we're going to identify with his life. Then he talks about in verse 12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." And then verse 13 is going to show how that's not a description of a loss of salvation, because it says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." So verse 13 shows how the individual is able to still have their salvation even though they've denied him. So verse 12, talking about this issue of suffering and denying. Now, we know that the members of the body of Christ are given to suffer. That's a part of the life which we have today, unfortunately. And I say unfortunately because it would be nice to not have to go through those suffering things, but that's not the case. So there's things we have to go through when we're following the doctrine properly. We reign with him, so there's a reigning that occurs. And if we deny him, he also will deny us. He will deny that ability to reign. And that's the issue of if somebody does not have anything remaining at the judgment seat of Christ, if everything has burned away, he denies them that ability to reign. And that's why the Apostle Paul really is laying these things out for Timothy and all the members of the body of Christ, because the intention is that we would all come unto the knowledge of the truth, that we would all have that understanding, we would all be fruitful by having those works evident in our lives, and we would all have the ability to actually reign with him. And that's why the Apostle Paul's giving that example, saying that even as they lived their lives, and they did it for their sake, so that way they could see this pattern of what was going to be happening with them. Now, when we pick up in our next episode, we will actually be starting verse number 6. And I know we've spent a lot of time going through some things in verse number 5 here, but you know, these things are very foundational to the things that are laid out throughout the rest of this book. And that's why we really kind of went into some detail on some of these things. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have, you know, some audio files of our, you know, messages. We have links to our Facebook page, which actually has, you know, information about how you can join our Sunday service live. We have information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call opportunity. And as always, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. If you have any questions or comments, you know, feel free to contact us, because we would love to hear from each and every one of you. So until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.